today on Real Radio.
Listen, if you had a good day, you're happy. You had a bad day, you're unhappy. Joy is independent of what is going on in your life. There can be an explosion and you can still have joy.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, in a message called How a Church Ought to Worship, Pastor Jack continues in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 28. The Apostle Paul wrote his letter to the Thessalonian church to encourage them to be joyful always in spite of opposition and hardship. If heaven's a place of joy and God is the reason and the giver of that joy, then why are we so often joyless in this life? The Christian who worships God in spirit and truth cannot help but have joy because their focus is on the path towards heaven. Today, Pastor Jack explains how joy is not happiness. Our joy comes from recognizing the value and worth of the God we worship, and it's not affected by our circumstances. The Christian who walks in constant communion with the Lord will see the events of the day through the Lord's eyes. And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
1 Thessalonians chapter 5, this morning, verse 16, down to verse 28. Chapter 5, verse 16 is where we'll begin. And before you do it, as you turn there, go ahead and do that. And then I'm going to want you to close your eyes. And I want you to listen. Let's close them. Don't worry. It's okay. This guy reached for his wallet over here. I thought I was going to get robbed. Heaven. What do you think? What do you see? Heaven. What do you hear? Elevator music, maybe? Little naked fat baby angels with stubby wings? What do you see? What do you hear? Harps and angelic voices, maybe? What about God? What comes to mind with your eyes closed and your mind thinking right now? What about God? Who is He? What is He? Is He holy? The Bible says He's holy. The Bible says that from Him comes forgiveness. When He looks at you, when you see Him now in your mind's eye, this light, has He forgiven you? Is He angry? Maybe you see Him as being angry. What do you see? You can go ahead and open your eyes and listen. Heaven is absolutely real. Absolutely. It's more real than what you and I are going through right now. Amen, thank God. I don't know how your life is going, but you don't want to hang around me lately. Heaven is real. I can't wait to get there. The more I live this life, the more I want to go there, the more I want to be there. Heaven is real. The Bible, Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit speaks about heaven being an absolute real place. And it is a place, listen, filled with joy. It says it's filled with joy. God. The Bible says that God is the source of all joy. He's not towering over you to crush you. He's not angry with you, though the Bible does say He's angry with the wicked every day. It is true that we are to smile, as the bumper sticker says, because God loves us. That's true. But He is angry with the wicked every day, but He doesn't want you to stay outside of Jesus. He wants you to come to Jesus so that you're no longer wicked. We'll get into this maybe later. But God is the source of all joy. In Psalm 16:11, the Bible says there, "You will show me the path of life, and in your presence, God, is fullness of joy. And at your right hand are pleasures forevermore." I don't know what you think about heaven, but it must be radical. It's a place full of joy. Are you, am I, a worshiper of God? Are we Christians? Now, all of us might say, yeah, I'm a Christian. Well, let me ask you this. Are you a worshiper? Are you giving to God worship? When we sing, when we take the opportunity to allow you really to worship in giving and your gifts. Is it worshipful to you? God says in 1 Corinthians that there shouldn't be any grumpy givers. Don't give if you're grumpy. Don't give money if you're grumpy. Don't give him a song if you're grumpy. Don't give him your service if you're grumpy. If you're grudging about it, oh, here I go again. I got to do parking lot ministry. Hey, stay home. It's better for you if you stay home, and it sure is better for us if you do. Oh, man, I got to go and deliver that message. No, you don't have to go. God can raise up Balaam's ass to give a message. He doesn't need us. He allows us. He lets us in on the service of him and to him, through him, for him. He's amazing. But we are to be worshipers. And we're going to look at this morning. A little bit of background, though, before we do. If we are to be worshipers as Christians, and if God in heaven is full of joy and we're going there, then why are we so joyless so often? Why are we so bummed? Jot it down under your notes where it says introduction. Jot it down. We are so often joyless because of our focus. Our focus is out. We're not thinking about heaven, you guys. We're not thinking about our God and how joyful he is. Did you know that in the book of Zephaniah, it's a trippy verse. In the book of Zephaniah, chapter 3, it says there that God, when we arrive in the presence of the Lord, he will sing and spin about us, singing with joy. God will do this. We've mentioned it a couple weeks ago. He's going to do it. But how a church ought to worship, that's what we're going to learn about this morning. How should we be a worshiping church? Listen, we're gathered here together this morning. Why? Have you asked why? Or is it tradition that you've come here on? Well, this is the reason why we're together right now this morning on this Lord's Day. First of all, it's to learn of God together. That is worship. Secondly, it is to further the work of God together. That is worship. It's an offering. We are here together this morning to fellowship with the people of God. That is worship. It's not just singing songs. We are here together to worship God corporately. Four things, very important. We are to be worshipers. Listen to this. There's a lot of definitions about worship, but this one will certainly do this morning. True worship, then there is false worship, by the way. True worship is the response of the heart of any man or woman who has experienced the truth about God. And that's key. When you experience the truth about God, who is God? You know him. The more you know about God, the more you are prone to worship him. The more you are prone to worship him, the more joy you'll have in your life. The most joy-filled Christians I know are worshiping Christians. They love to sing him praises. Don't be bummed when I tell you this. Be convicted, praise the Lord, but don't be bummed. Throw out your secular music. Get it out. Put it away. And take about $50 and invest in some Christian music. And watch what happens. You'll start singing songs. You'll start hearing lyrics that are godly. It'll start to affect you. Throw out the things that are not beneficial to your Christian walk that you're reading. Start reading more Christian books. Start reading more of the Bible. Watch what happens. You know, and I know people who started doing this, and you're a little ticked off right now because they've outgrown you in their Christianity. How'd they do it? Why did they get picked to do that? God's working in their life. They're investing. They are worshiping. And there's a joy that you can see in their lives. But there's true worship. In John 4:23, Jesus said, "The hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers of God will worship the Father in spirit and in truth." Two avenues that we come to him on. "For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit. And those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." And so Christian worship must be biblical, it must be spiritual, it must affect your life, it will empower you for service, and listen, it prepares you for heaven. And so that's what we're going to be looking at this morning. It is God's will that we be a worshiping church. Verse 16, we'll read through and we'll come back. He says, "Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for us and you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who will also do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read to all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen, he says. Worship. Starting in verse 16, he's really talking about worship and how we worship as a church. It's interesting. In John 15:11, Jesus said, "These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy may remain on you, and that your joy is full." Guys, gals, God wants our joy level absolutely filled up, not weak. Are you joyful? Jack, you know, it's been kind of a bummer week. Not as bad as my week has been. Well, it's been pretty bad. That's the good news about what we're talking about this morning. If you're a worshiping believer, it doesn't matter. People, listen. You can throw away any pills you might be taking. You can cancel your appointment with your shrink. You can take your analyst and his address and flush it with what I'm about to say. I mean, that's strong words. Listen, are you ready for this? I mean this. If you today decide to be a worshiping believer, you will have joy, unbelievably so. It's easier to pay that guy behind the desk $1,000 a month than for some to sit and pray or sit for a moment and open themselves up to God and sing him a song or read him a chapter. It's a carnal thing to just write out the money and go through the movement. It's a carnal thing. But if we as a church step back and sit down or come into a service and lift up our hands and begin to praise and worship him, you will experience a joy that is unbelievable. And here's the punchline. It is not connected to the happenstance of life. Joy is not happiness. I told you about that beautiful man, Victor, on the streets last month, who told me, "I'm not happy, and I don't believe you're happy," pointing to me. And he says, "Nobody can know happiness." And I said, "I tell you what, I don't want to know happiness nearly as much as something else." And he says, "Well, what is that?" I said, "Joy." Because happiness is based upon, that's where we get the word, happenings, happenstance. Listen, if you had a good day, you're happy. You had a bad day, you're unhappy. Joy is independent of what is going on in your life. There can be an explosion and you can still have joy. Your car could blow up. Your spouse could die today. A child, you will weep. You will have sorrow, but down deep inside, there's a deep abiding joy. And it comes only to those who are worshipers of God. And we need to worship him. First of all, he's worthy. Second of all, it changes our lives. Third, you can't stop a church that worships God. When Israel was going into battle, they often took the ark out in the front, started to blow the trumpets, and they started worshiping the Lord. And they won the battle. Can you imagine going into Desert Storm with the Maranatha Praise Band up front? Figure you could see, you know, Saddam looking through the telescope or the scopes. What is that? I don't know, but there's a big bright light behind them. Going into battle with worship. Every day our lives are a battle. Go in, start it with worship. Verses 16 to 18, we want to be careful to be a worshiping church. We want to be a thankful group of people. Listen to this. He says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks." You can't separate those three verses. You can't separate them. It's impossible. but we're going to do our best. Rejoice always. I want to do this. Don't you want to rejoice always? Aren't you glad it says, be happy always. Don't worry, be happy. And you're going, oh, cool, man, cool. And then your radio goes out. Oh, bummer. I like that song. Makes me happy. Forget it. It says, rejoice always. Can we? Is this true? Is this thing true? Or do we throw it out today? Rejoice always. Are we rejoicing? If you're not, if I am not, I am not focusing. And I'm not a worshiper. Friend of mine at his church, 2 o'clock in the morning, on a Sunday morning, his wife suddenly took ill and died unexpectedly. He showed up to the 7:45 service, sat in the front row and wept with his hands up and worshiped the Lord. And people said, what are you doing here? He goes, well, what do you mean what I'm doing here? Where do you go at times like this? Can you believe it? Where do you go at times like this? Joy. He'll see her again. The part that wigs me out from verses 16 to 18 are the adverbs. Rejoice. Hey, okay, I can focus on that one. Always? Pray, no problem, without ceasing. What? Give thanks, sure, for everything. These are the conditions, people. What does it mean? Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks. Listen, to rejoice always, that comes from the fact that we have tasted a little bit about heaven in our lives. We can rejoice always because people right now this morning, we have fellowship together. We know a little bit of the Bible. Isn't it amazing? God has given us a little bit. This is not all there is. This is God has given us his Bible, which is all truth. This book is all true. God has revealed enough of himself for us to fall in love with him. Buddy, when we get to heaven, we haven't seen the half of it. When the Bible says in Psalm 73:1, God is good, we don't even have a clue how good he is. To rejoice always, to rejoice, is to know a little bit about heaven, a little bit about God. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, eye has not seen, I love this, write it down, put it on your right hand, your left hand, and your forehead. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of men the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Talking about heaven. And what he's prepared for us is less than who he is, because he is the creator. Psalm 34:8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Why? Because he'll be rejoicing. He'll be a man rejoicing. He'll be a woman rejoicing. And rejoicing always, because I am the Lord and I change not. Our happenings in life change constantly. He never changes. That's why our joy is seated in heaven, and heaven puts it within our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Did you hear what I said? It is so important. If I find out next week that I've got cancer, I still should be able to rejoice. Will I be happy? No. I will be disappointed. I will be maybe upset and hurt in some ways about this, that, or the other. But down deep inside, there'll be a joy because of the Holy Spirit. And when our joy is gone, we can be sure that our focus is in the wrong place. And there's no excuse for a joyless Christian life. God's revealed himself to us. We should be rejoicing. It says in verse 17, pray without ceasing. This word prayer is simple. It's to go before the Lord. It's to ask of him. And it's the general word for prayer. It could be intercession, petitions, could be groanings, crying out, anything. But the word ceasing here, the word means without intermission. The reoccurrence of the waves. You ever been to the ocean? What happens? Waves over and over and over again. Pray like that, the Bible says. to be perpetually coming before God. Now watch this. You might be saying, Jack, how do I do this? I mean, this is like ridiculous. How do I actually pray without ceasing? And here is a simple way to remember what verse 17 is all about. It means be in the attitude of prayer forever. Well, what does that mean? Does it mean I bow my head at the intersection? Does it mean I bow my head while I'm riding my bike? No, it doesn't. You know, we close our eyes and bow our heads to keep our attention focused on the Lord because we're so easily distracted. I love to watch the way Jesus prayed. You find him often lifting up his head and putting his eyes toward heaven. I like that. I will often just, as a symbol for me, I'll look up when most people are bowing down. It's just for me personally. But listen, we are to be in an attitude of prayer constantly. And this is beautiful. I hope you get this. If I'm a good teacher, you'll get it. If you don't, then I blew it. The meaning of it is this. The word ceasing in the Greek here. It means we are to be engaged in a one, lifelong, uninterrupted conversation with God. It is a continuum that begins the day you meet him. Scholars believe it means this to us in this life, and we need to transfer it unto God in our relationship with him. What it suggests is our very first meeting between two people who fall in love with each other. What follows is a lifelong, uninterrupted conversation with one another, a continuum that begins the moment they meet. Doesn't that make it more personable now? You meet somebody. The first thing you might notice, maybe not, it's not important. He's attractive. She's attractive. She's funny. He's funny. I like that. They like that. Whatever. You meet. And then you wind up communicating. I feel a kinship. I can't explain. And we're talking. You begin to fall in love. And what happens from the day that you met, there's a continuation of fellowship with them. Even when you're apart, there's the thoughts. You're on the phone or you're on an outing or whatever. There's the continuum. The suggestion is that's how we ought to be with God. Now I'm beginning to see how I can rejoice always and have joy and be a worshiper, because what am I doing? I am constantly in the presence of God because I'm praying without ceasing. And it goes just like this. Bear with me. And you may think this is simplistic. If you do, don't let me know about it, because this is how I live. I get up in the morning. Good morning. I say that first thing, and it's not with my lips. Good morning. Thanks for keeping us tonight. We pray every night, Lord, keep us safe. Thanks for keeping us this night. What's going on today? What's on the books that I'm supposed to do? What's on the books that I'm not supposed to do? Lord, interrupt my life today. Whatever I do, you make it what you want to do, and give me the grace to remember this today. And Lord, before my feet hit this carpet, fill me with your Holy Spirit. So the day goes on. And I will say things like, Lord, it's too hot for me today. I wish you'd turn down the temperature, or at least make me feel better in the heat. I don't like the heat. General conversation.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called How a Church Ought to Worship. Thanks for listening. And you know, a thankful heart keeps its eyes on the Lord and is always open for all that the Lord has to give. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Here's something that we'd love you to do. Go to YouTube and search for Real Life with Jack Hibbs, the Real Life with Jack Hibbs YouTube channel. Search for that and then subscribe if you would. And every time Pastor Jack comes out with something new on YouTube, you'll get a notification and you can head on over and see what's going on. Pastor Jack's got some great stuff on YouTube. If you like listening to him on the radio, you're going to like his videos too. I promise you that. Don't forget to check out the Real Life with Jack Hibbs YouTube channel and hit that subscribe button. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.